From KLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Pinole, California.
Santa Clara.
I'm from Fremont.
Pacifica, California.
Pleasanton.
From Vallejo.
Me from Antioch.
Coming up, we'll break down the true cost of the wine known as Two Buck Chuck.
At some point, people really don't care that much. If they can get a wine for $2, they are completely happy with it.
Then we'll take that wine right on down to the circus.
I didn't think that I wanted to do circus or be a clown. And then once I got here, I just fell into it, got swept up.
We'll also debut our new pop-up radio project, Here, Here.
He helped me get out of the shadows of what I wanted to do and illuminate myself in the light.
And we know there's no better way to get you to become a member of KLW than to air a segment on baby animals.
Aww. Aww, baby kitty.
We've got a wild ride today on a special hour-long edition of Cross Currents. First, this news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. California Governor Jerry Brown is proposing $8 billion in cuts and tax increases as part of an effort to close the state's widening budget gap. The governor is suggesting that public employees take a 5% pay cut. He also says cuts should be made to health care and social services programs. The governor is in part blaming court decisions that have blocked other proposed cuts from taking effect.
I think it's reasonable. I think it's fair. And it will also provide a reliable source of funding for local law enforcement.
Brown released his proposed spending plan for the fiscal year starting in July. Democratic governor says California is facing a $15.7 billion deficit, far higher than the $9.2 billion forecast in January. Brian McNamee, the prosecution's star witness, has taken the stand at the Roger Clemens perjury trial in Washington. But as NPR's Nina Totenberg reports, much of his testimony today focused on his duties as a strength and conditioning coach.
McNamee looked thin and pale, his oversized suit a reminder of another time. Obviously well rehearsed, he looked at the jury as he testified, and they watched him with interest. But for nearly 4 hours, the testimony focused mainly on McNamee's duties as a strength and conditioning coach in Major League Baseball. He testified only briefly about injecting Clemens with anabolic steroids in 1998, telling the jury Clemens provided the drugs and needles. He said he injected the pitching star 8 to 10 times before Clemens abruptly told him he was done with the stuff. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
Gay marriage is illegal in the state of Rhode Island, but as Diane Orson of member station WNPR reports, Governor Lincoln Chafee has signed an executive order recognizing same-sex unions performed out of state.
Civil unions are allowed in Rhode Island, but same-sex marriage is not. The executive order directs state agencies to give gay couples married out of state the same rights as heterosexual couples. Now, same-sex spouses of state employees married elsewhere are entitled to health and other insurance benefits. Gay couples are also allowed to list both names as parents on a child's birth certificate. Same-sex marriage is legal in Massachusetts and Connecticut, the states that border Rhode Island. For NPR News, I'm Diane Orson in New Haven.
Addressing graduates at Barnard College in New York today, President Obama said that women need to lead the country to better days. Speaking at the Women's College, Mr. Obama challenged graduates to embrace and rekindle the spirit of change, saying they should stand up and be heard rather than, in his words, sit back and watch. Mr. Obama told graduates at the private school the nation's challenges are solvable. The question is whether, together, we can muster the will. Ongoing political stalemate in Greece continued to weigh on U.S. financial markets to start the week. The Dow was down 125 points to close at 12,695. The Nasdaq fell 31 points. The S&P 500 dropped 15 points. This is NPR.
Welcome back to Cross Currents from KLW News. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area. I'm Holly Kernan. Today we're launching a new series where we look at the true cost of some very well-known products. We all know the apparent cost, that is, what's on the price tag. But how is that affected by things like labor, business practices, environmental effects, and subsidies? What do these products really cost us? Today we're considering something many Californians hold very dear. Wine. For the last 10 years, the supermarket chain Trader Joe's has been selling its Charles Shaw wines, better known as Two Buck Chuck, for $2. And it's been a great success. In fact, a recent edition of TJ's Fearless Flyer newspaper says, We do think we know why these wines have struck a chord. They've proven that wine doesn't need to be expensive to be good, drinkable wine. These are not expensive, they are good, and they're very drinkable. So we decided to explore the true cost of cheap wine. KLW's RTM's Kornhoffs has the story.
It's Saturday evening, and I'm in one of the Trader Joe's stores in San Francisco. Right in the center of the wine section, there is Charles Shaw. It has the biggest space and the most prominent position. You can see Sauvignon Blanc, Merlot, Chardonnay, Pinot Grigio. Big sign above the bottles says Charles Shaw, still only $1.99 after all these years. Charles Shaw wines are made by the Bronco Wine Company based in Ceres, California, near Modesto. The brand was born just over a decade ago, when Bronco and other producers found themselves harvesting too many grapes. One of the company's founders, Fred Franzia, came up with the idea to undercut the competition. He'd make a $2 bottle, according to San Francisco Chronicle wine editor John Bonnet.
He was able to kind of go in, name his price, and come up with this ridiculously inexpensive wine. And then over time, he's had to figure out how to keep supplying it, not the least of which is, frankly, planting his own vineyards.
Now, Bronco owns a lot of land in California, more than 40,000 acres of vineyards, mostly in the San Joaquin Valley. And Charles Shaw wine is just one of more than 90 different Bronco brands, most of which sell for less than $10 a bottle.
Fred is very, very adamant that no one should pay more than $10 for a bottle of wine ever, although even he has broken that by offering some reserves. But he simply believes in cheap wine. And honestly, there's a long tradition in California of making cheap wine that is sold just as table wine.
But economies have changed. And after 10 years and 600 million bottles, how is $2 still just $2? I went to Bronco's bottling facility to find out. Charles Shaw wine is produced here in Napa, at an average speed of 245 bottles per minute. Fred Franzia's son, Joe, runs this recently built factory. He gave me a tour and says he's really proud of how it's changing the industry.
Where we're one of the first to pioneer a lightweight glass.
That's big. Here's why. A typical case of wine weighs about 36 pounds. A case of lightweight bottles weighs 30, which means Bronco can ship more at a time.
So basically, one in every five trucks is okay, paying for itself, reducing the carbon footprint.
Franzia says it's a win-win, good for the environment and for the profit margin.
That is really starting to become the standard of the industry because the freight, the fuel's going up. And when you're dealing with products, wine products under $10 a bottle, you're very sensitive to gas prices affecting your bottom line.
Another example is cork.
There's a lot of wineries that are cutting costs by just using a composite cork or a plastic cork.
Bronco prefers not to use plastic cork for any of its wines. Some have screw caps, known in the industry as Stelvin closures. But for Charles Shaw, Bronco uses one of the cheapest forms of natural cork. Franzia says it's a mold of small pieces with a real cork veneer at the bottom.
We believe cork to be the primary closure method for wine. So we want to maintain the high quality of the cork with a natural tip as a barrier between the composite and the wine itself.
The Chronicle's John Bonnet says such production details are important to understand, especially when it comes to cheap wine.
Quite honestly, the bigger part of the cost is glass, cork, and distribution. It's one of the reasons that anywhere outside California, $2 is actually $3.
$3.
Simply, the cost of shipping it anywhere out of state becomes high enough that you just can't support it. In terms of the actual wine, the wine is not terribly expensive. I would say it's probably maybe 30 or 40% of the cost, if that.
That means the actual wine inside a bottle of Charles Shaw has a retail value of about 75 cents.
The grapes are very cheap. They're almost entirely grown in the San Joaquin.
California's Central Valley, where land is cheaper than in Napa or Sonoma, and
Fred Franzia, who runs Bronco, is an absolute master of leveraging the bulk wine system to kind of pick up bulk wine where it's available.
Which means a bottle of $2 could come from almost anywhere.
this was sort of the genius of it, is they made it feel like it was a real bottle of wine. They made it look like it was a real bottle of wine. And what was in it was sort of incidental. And honestly, no one has much complained.
Joe Franzius says that's because it tastes good.
Yeah, you don't sell on average 5.5-6 million cases a year for 10 years if you're selling product that people didn't enjoy.
Outside the Trader Joe's in San Francisco's Soma district, reviews are mixed.
T-Buck Chuck. I actually buy T-Buck Chuck. I think it's a good deal. It's a good Tuesday night wine.
That's Angie Guzman. And then there is Michael Mariner.
And I buy T-Buck Chuck because it's basically box wine in a bottle.
That doesn't work for Donna Aldrich.
I don't buy it anymore. I really, really don't like how it tastes. It's pretty bad.
But Adrian Dope says cooking with the wine suits him just fine.
And I use T-Buck Chuck Merlot for all kinds of French dishes. I don't think I've ever drank it, though. No, I have.
Meanwhile, Terry Cronin, who has been in the wine business for many years, says she does not buy T-Buck Chuck because the flavor is inconsistent.
Every case is different, so it's not like a normal, but it's the greatest deal in the world. I mean, how can you get great California wine for such a cheap price? So I'm very for it, but not for me.
Of course, Cronin has plenty of options to choose from, and there are other fairly inexpensive wines with a more consistent flavor, like Bonterra. It's made by the large California winemaker Fetzer. Bonterra sells for about $12 a bottle, still 10 bucks more than T-Buck Chuck.
Price point, it really depends on a lot of different factors.
Anne Thrupp is manager of sustainability and organic development at Fetzer and Bonterra Vineyards. According to company literature, Bonterra is the top-selling wine made of organic grapes in the U.S.
Many people really love what that means. And, I think people feel confident about what's behind that.
Bonterra grapes come from sustainably farmed vineyards in Mendocino and Lake counties. The company practices water and energy conservation, it composts, and even uses sheep instead of tractors to control weeds in the vineyards.
And, there's a little bit more manual labor for additional monitoring that goes on for pest management. So it really depends on the particular site, but we do find that there are slightly higher costs for producing organically.
Other costs have to do with certification of organic practices, which involves additional time and labor. And then there is the labor itself.
In order to do farming for grapes that are that cheap, you need to find labor that's really as cheap as you can get.
Again, San Francisco Chronicle wine editor John Bonnet.
It's not a surprise that most vineyard work in California is done by migrant workers.
Fetzer Vineyards offers a program for its workers to learn English. They also reimburse tuition fees and do various in-house trainings. But for less expensive wines, Bonnet says,
the cheaper your grape farming is, the more you're going to run into the possibility of labor violations.
Records show at least one public scandal around working conditions at vineyards owned by one of Bronco's subdivisions, West Coast Grape Farming.
Now to California and a protest this week by farm workers.
In 2008, a pregnant 17-year-old undocumented worker named Maria Isabel Vasquez Jimenez was working for one of West Coast Grape's labor contractors. On a hot day, she collapsed on a field and later died of heat exhaustion. Broncos spokeswoman Lisa Adams-Walters said she could not comment when asked about the labor practices of the company. So, production, quality, land, labor. The other thing determining the cost of wine in California is prestige.
Thank you for calling San Francisco Wine Trading Company. How can I help you?
I joined wine consultant Fred Daniels in the aisles of the San Francisco Wine Trading Company. I asked him to explain the difference between two bottles of Pinot Noir. One $12, the other $46.
For something like Poppy, it could be a wine that is very well made, but it's made from Monterey County, so the vineyards don't have that prestige.
While the $46 bottle comes from the Russian River Valley.
The wines there typically run in this price range. If I go to Russian River and buy grapes from that area, the wines automatically would be priced in this price range.
None of that applies to brands like Charles Shaw. The label only says the wine comes from California. which is one reason why critics like John Bonnet say that it almost doesn't make sense to discuss the quality of such lower-shelf bottles that cost less than $15.
You know, probably a good chunk of what you're tasting in there could be grape concentrate, could be sugar, could be sort of residual flavor from oak products. Not barrels necessarily, but chips or sawdust or whatever that gives this kind of oak flavor. And so part of what you're doing when you're making wine at that level is simply to come up with something that tastes okay.
And for millions of wine drinkers, that's good enough. For Cross Currents, I'm Artem Skonohaus.
You'll be hearing more in our True Cost series over the next few months. Is there a product you think we should dig into? You can let us know at our Facebook page. We're KALW News. Coming up, how one local business is skating on the economic edge.
I wanted to be able to bring a different representation of customers. I mean, not only more affluent ones, but also, you know, it's good to have a different cross-section that basically is representative of the whole city.
Stay with us for Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan, and I'm here with Martina Castro and Casey Miner. They are editors on our team, and we're here to invite you to join us and become a member of KALW. We are not interrupting the program. You're hearing every story that you would normally hear, and Artem Skonohoff, our Latvian correspondent, was just talking about the greatest deal in the world. Well, that's what we bring you every day at KALW. This was our series about the true cost of something, and when you think about it, the value that you get from listening to local independent radio, what is the true cost of that? What does that mean to you? Martina, what does that mean to you?
Oh, to me, it means being informed, getting to dig deeper into things like that you take for granted, like a bottle of wine. What is the true cost of something like that? And I just loved how RTMs went into every detail, the labor, the advertising, the glass, everything that I never would have thought of before. That is the kind of context that we hope to give you every day. And I know that you come to listen for that. So now's your moment to let us know that you appreciate it. You can do it by calling 1-800-525-9917. We have a room full of volunteers to answer your call and to invite you to get involved in the KALW family.
And I just wanted to add something to that. You know, one of the great things that I thought RTMs did with that story is, you know, in the end, he talked about how Two Buck Chuck is wine for real people. And I think what we bring you here is radio for real people. We bring you radio about things that you're involved with, things that happen to you in your communities, to the people you know, things you want to hear. And we want to be able to keep doing that. We want to be responsive to you, to continue to be as responsive as we are. And so give us a call right now. It's 1-800-525-9917. We have a room full of volunteers, as Martina said, waiting to take your call.
And, you know, what you guys were talking about, the true cost and the way that we bring you these stories, like many of the local wineries that he profiled in that piece, we are organic radio. We are homegrown local radio, and that's what you appreciate. We hear it all the time from listeners who says, great worldly program with a local feel, said somebody. We're also getting, I was looking online just now, so many new members. And if you are somebody who listens and has never made the leap, it is like having a wonderful glass of wine the first time that you pledge. 1-800-525-9917. We have just seconds because we have to go back to the program. So what can we do to, oh, we have a goal, guys. We have a matching $1,000 if we can make $1,000 right now. 1-800-525-9917.
And it's 1-800-525-9917. And, you know, I just have to add, we're talking about wine as a metaphor here, but we actually also have a literal wine gift for anybody who wants to pledge $150 or more. We have passes to Wine Riot, which is this very cool sounding wine tasting event put on by a company called Second Glass. And the whole idea is to introduce wine and wine tasting, hundreds of varieties, to people who maybe haven't had a chance to participate in that or haven't had a chance to get up to Napa. And that's something that you can have for a $150 pledge to KALW. Give us a call right now. It's 1-800-525-9917.
And just like our series suggests, think about the true cost of public radio. And really, I prefer to have you think about the value, the things that it brings to you every day. Maybe we accompany you on your commute, or we educated you about something you'd never thought about in that way before. Now's the moment. We don't come to you very often. So now's the moment, right now, to call 1-800-525-9917 and let us know how much you appreciate it.
And we have literally seconds before we go back to our next great story from Cross Currents. 1-800-525-9917. One listener wrote in, KALW is my essential source of information, delight, and inspiration, like you just mentioned, Martina. 1-800-525-9917. We have a challenge from, thank you so much, Peter and Terry Boyer. They have put up $1,000 to give you an incentive to go to the phone. 1-800-525-9917. We have a room full of volunteers. You can also go online to kalw.org, and there's this wonderful thank you incentive, the Wine Riot, which will be a riot. We highly recommend this. We'll probably be there. 1-800-525-9917. And now let's go back to Cross Currents. Back in 2009, we profiled some local businesses on the economic edge. They were trying to make things work, but struggling during the recession. One business was Café de la Stella in San Francisco's Hayes Valley neighborhood. When KALW's Laura Clivens visited, the café was changing up its menu to fit the times. Server Flory Mashmeyer explained.
It's $10 for soup or salad and a pasta dish. And it actually brings in a lot more business.
Now, 3 years later, we decided to revisit Café delle Stelle and see how they're doing. While unemployment rates in California decreased from 11.2% in March of 2009 to 10.9% this January, independent restaurants are still searching for creative ways to fill the empty chairs caused by the recession. KALW's Fatima Duran caught up with Café delle Stelle owner Enrico Spolci to see how serving economy lunches has affected his business.
You know, it seems to work. Usually there are 3-4 items, and usually there are couple pastas, maybe a sandwich, maybe a salad, sometimes there is a pizza. They're all items that can be prepared within 5-10 minutes, so it's extremely fast and convenient. And also you can walk out of the door and having lunch for $10 plus taxes. So I think it's a win-win situation. At first it was to entice people to come in and try to generate a little more business. And then it has become more like a permanent feature because it seems like to attract more of a cross-section of people. So not only it helps me getting new customers, but also it gets enjoyed by my regular customers as well. I wanted to be able to bring a different representation of customers. Not only the more affluent ones, but also, you know, it's good to have a different cross section that basically is representative of the whole city. You are allowed to come in, sit down, have a leisurely lunch, and yet timely enough not to interfere with your daily activities. I think my goals have been achieved.
You can find all of our Economic Edge stories at our website. It's klw.org. Coming up, a story about all of the clowns in the Bay Area.
I didn't think that I wanted to do circus or be a clown. And then once I got here, I just fell into it, got swept up, and it snowballed, and it's been my living ever since.
That's coming up next on Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan, and you're listening to Cross Currents, and I'm joined by Casey Miner and Martina Castro. They are editors in our newsroom, and we're here just to take a teeny-weeny natural break out of the show to ask you to become a member supporter of KALW. 1-800-525-9917 is the number to call.
And we know you tuned in to hear our programming. That's why we're not going to take that much time away from it. But the story you just heard is the kind of example of what we do here. We like to go deeper. And when the economic crisis hit, we didn't just go to the numbers, go to the headlines. We had a mandate for ourselves to go and tell the real people's stories behind what was happening. And we're doing it today, still. And so if this is something that you appreciate about Cross Currents, now's the moment to let us know. 800-525-9917.
And, you know, we really consider ourselves part of this community. I think, like what Martina was saying, you know, we not only went deeper to tell the stories of the economic crisis, we also went back 3 years later to find out how those same people were doing, how those same businesses were faring. And we try and do that consistently. We keep track of the people we talk to. We keep track of you. We love to hear from you. And your support really means a lot to us. So please give us a call. It's 1-800-525-9917.
And I see that we have an open line, 1-800-525-9917. One of the things that people are saying as they pledge online at KALW.org or as they call us, 1-800-525-9917, is they're saying we love these non-interruptive drives. Somebody from Chicago who was here on sabbatical wrote in to say, this is the most non-disruptive membership campaign I've ever experienced in public radio history. And people are saying that, but the only way we can make it work is in these tiny little breaks. We're about to go back, guys, in that we have 30 seconds. 1-800-525-9917. You can join for $100, $10 a month if that works for you. Maybe you're somebody who can do a dollar a day, $365. We have so many great thank you gifts at KALW.org. We also have a very special gift, the Wine Riot, Casey.
Right. This is passes to a wine tasting event put on by Second Glass. It's a company specifically working on getting people who maybe don't know that much about wine, would like to know about it, but don't, into tasting. And that's something we would like to share with you as a thank you gift. So give us a call now for $150. You can get passes to Wine Riot. It's 1-800-525-9917.
The idea is to get involved and take this moment to let us know that you appreciate what we're doing and become a member of our community. 800-525-9917 is the place to do it.
I see an open line. Martina, give out the number again if you would.
800-525-9917, or you can always go online at kalw.org.
I still see an open line. We need to get all of those lines full, and we only have like 10 seconds. We also have a challenge right now, a $1,000 challenge from Peter and Terry Boyer that they're trying to say, here's another enticement, and every dollar that you pledge right now will be matched. 1-800-525-9917. We're going back to Cross Currents, back to the stories. No programming has been harmed in the making of this membership campaign. 1-800-525-9917 or online at kalw.org. You can continue to become a member as we go back to Cross Currents. Here in the Bay Area, we have more than our share of circus performers. Clowns, jugglers, fire dancers, aerialists, hula hoopers, tightrope walkers. Maybe you've seen them at a performance, at Burning Man, leading workshops at your child's school, or practicing their skills in a park on a sunny afternoon. If you haven't run across one yet, it's probably only a matter of time. Turns out it's not just Quebec City, the home of Cirque du Soleil, that's overflowing with circus arts. San Francisco is one of the top destinations in North America for performers to train, collaborate, and experiment. A lot of this began in the 1970s when the Pickle Family Circus and other innovative troupes started up. And a training center created by Pickle Family members is still one of the most comprehensive circus arts schools in the country. KALW's Sarah Bernard has the story of San Francisco's circus history, past, present, and Pickle.
I remember the moment very clearly. Two of my housemates came home one night, giddy and breathless, and said, "We are joining the circus." Little did I know, those few words would launch my part-time career as a circus groupie. Over the next 5 years, I followed the troupe my friends had joined, the Dreamtime Circus, to India, Peru, and around the Bay Area, taking photos, painting sets and faces, and watching them juggle swords, dance with fire, and dazzle audiences. But the more time I spent with the Dreamtime Circus in San Francisco, the less this circus subculture felt like a subculture. Suddenly, the circus was everywhere. It seemed like everyone in the Bay Area had some kind of circus skill. It turns out, I wasn't that far off.
My name is Polina Smith, and I'm a clown. I go by the name of Dr. Schmidt.
My name is Natasha Kaluza, and I am a hula hooper, a clown, and I also teach circus to kids and adults.
My name is Paoli Lacey, and I was involved in circus in San Francisco, primarily with Make a Circus, but also with Everybody's Family Circus in the 70s and 80s.
I come from the East Coast. I grew up in Boston, even spent a lot of time in New York. I would say the circus scene here is unlike any other.
I didn't think that I wanted to do circus or be a clown. And then once I got here, I just fell into it, got swept up, and it snowballed, and it's been my living ever since.
I think I could go out at least once a week, all year round, looking at clown and circus shows. There's almost always something curious to, like, pay attention to and find out about clowning and circus around here.
I used to have the same images some people still have of the circus. A candy-striped, big-top tent, a scary-looking clown in Ronald McDonald shoes, and some guy in a top hat cracking a whip at a lion. But in the early 1970s, circus performers were starting to question that age-old tradition. And people like Judy Finelli were doing it in San Francisco.
So there were early signs that young people wanted to do circus in a non-Ringling Brothers aesthetic.
Finelli is the former artistic director of the Pickle Family Circus. And she co-founded the San Francisco School of Circus Arts, now known as the Circus Center, with Pickle performer Wendy Parkman.
I had no particular appreciation or no reason to have any appreciation for the circus until I saw the Pickle Family Circus.
Pickle Family Circus souvenir t-shirts, do not rip, rot, wear, tear, rust, bust, flatten the breeze, sag of the knees, or smell bad in foul weather.
That's from a 1981 broadcast on KXPR in Sacramento.
And it was just the most joyful, ebullient expression of, you know, just being in the audience made me feel just so happy.
The Titans of the Trampoline, Cecilia, Dr. Brown, and Bouncing Billy.
The Pickle Family Circus, Parkman says, was not a far-off, magical thing that you marveled at from your seat 50 rows up in the big top.
But there has always been a tradition of teaching and sharing, and as you said, bringing people in. The Pickle Family Circus, and when they were traveling, they always did a workshop for family and neighbors, friends, people who are going to come to the show. There's always a free workshop.
It's the connection to the community that makes what we do possible.
That's Pickle Family Circus co-founder Larry Pizzoni, sharing his story on KXPR.
A very important aspect to our project is that we perform for and are sponsored by small community service organizations, daycare centers, clinics, senior centers.
You know, they weren't doing it to become super famous circus stars.
Again, Wendy Parkman.
They were doing it because it was a good, they were doing something that they loved, and it was simultaneously a good way to give back to communities, even communities that you didn't live in, because they raised money for service organizations every time they performed.
Which again broke down this separation between the general public and circus artists. So it was about breaking that down.
Judy Finelli says this was a pretty big change. It used to be that either you were born into the circus world or you weren't. Until 1984, when Finelli and Parkman decided to do something about it.
So we thought, well, there ought to be a school, because how is what I see going to improve?
So they started a series of classes that grew into a circus school. Wendy Parkman says,
that idea was that these are all really accessible and fun things to do, and everybody should be able to participate in how fun this is. You know, you don't have to be a hardcore athlete on a soccer team to have, you know, a good physical experience, nor do you have to be a competitive gymnast to have a good physical experience. There's room for all kinds of tendencies and passions and proclivities.
Pickle Family alumni still perform around the world. One of its first clowns, Bill Irwin, made it in Hollywood. Gypsy Snyder and Shayna Carroll co-founded Seven Fingers, a successful Montreal-based circus troupe. And while the Pickle Family Circus no longer performs as a collective, Circus Center students still show off for friends, family, and the community, and they can still totally impress an audience.
There are these kids, these young kids, little kids, I don't know, maybe 6, 7 years old, who are climbing up ropes and silks, aerial silks, and wrapping them around their legs and flipping around upside down. And they seem really at ease. And that's, I guess, the inspiration of the circus, the magic of it, is that maybe anybody could do it. Maybe if you're 6, apparently you can, if you're 6 years old. You know?
When I think of the circus, it makes me believe that anything's possible.
Paulina Smith graduated from the Circus Center's Clown Conservatory in 2009.
I mean, the way that people can contort their bodies or can climb ropes and swing from trapezes is really just magical.
It's poetry, using your body.
Again, Circus Center co-founder Judy Finelli.
Because you can't really explain what a poem is, and yet everyone knows what it is. Circus is a little bit like that. You know a great circus act when you've just seen one. And what it does to you works on a very visceral, internal level, much like a poem does.
It's hard for me to explain exactly what made me start following the circus around. Of course, there's this awe and admiration, but there's also something like an invitation. A circus performance always makes me wonder, could I do that? Maybe I can. In San Francisco, I'm Sarah Bernard for Cross Currents.
You'll find even more arts and cultural coverage at klw.org. Coming up on Cross Currents, we'll take a walk on the wild side with baby animals.
You know, there's these little tiny things in the long grass, so they're just literally like bounding over the grass, trying to sort of see the world. And mom's really fearful because cheetahs are actually very vulnerable to things like hyenas and lions. So mom's really sort of protective of them, and they're sort of scared of the world.
Stay with us for more Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I'm Holly Kernan. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm here with Martina Castro and Casey Miner. They're editors for KALW News. And we have the privilege of coming to you and inviting you to become a member of KALW. Join our circus. We have a very big tent here, and it is a little circus-like in this place. But we're only taking a few seconds out of each, out of the show to ask you, to invite you to become a member, and I accidentally made a mistake. So we have this wonderful $1,000 challenge from Peter and Terry Boyer. Thank you so much, Peter and Terry Boyer. They've put up $1,000 to challenge you to become a member, but I thought we only had to raise $1,000. We have to meet $2,000 to get that money. So, and we're at $700, so we're very close, but we need a lot of people right now in the next 60 seconds to go to the phones and to become a member. That story talked about how accessible and fun and delightful the circus is, and that reminds me of this place, KALW, and the range of things that you can see and hear on KALW, and especially for our local news that we're listening to right now.
And if you take sort of the Pickle Family Circus as an example, as you heard in that story by Sarah Bernard, you know, they didn't do it alone. It took so many organizations to make that circus, that joyous adventure possible. And that's why we count on your help. We can't do this. We can't make this adventure possible either without you. So give us a call at 800-525-9917. Think really hard about what public radio brings to your life. And at any level, we are welcoming you. $50 is the basic membership, but, you know, think maybe a dollar a day. What do you spend a dollar a day on? Maybe that's the value of public radio to your life.
1-800-525-9917. We have 30 seconds left, Casey, and we're going back to the stories. We have this great story coming up for you right now. 30 seconds to get people to go to 1-800-525-9917 and become a member supporter of this station.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to what you were saying earlier, Holly, about how this place can be a little circus-like at times, and we do think of ourselves as a big tent, but, you know, I mean, at KALW News, we have all of these great volunteers, and throughout the station, we have these great volunteers. Many of them are in the phone room right now picking up, but they bring all their their experiences, all their ideas, all their stories
into this place. There's an open line, Casey.
Oh, there's an open line right now, and you can talk to one of those volunteers if you call 1-800-525-9917 and, you know, hear a little bit about where they're coming from, what they're bringing to this place to help us expand our own community. And we really hope that that includes you.
1-800-525-9917. We are only literally taking seconds, little tiny, tiny breaks. This is a non-interrupting pledge drive membership campaign, but it only works. And you're saying so to all of us so often how much you like this way of doing business, but it only works if you call us. 1-800-525-9917. I see an open line. 1-800-525-9917 or go to klw.org. We're trying to meet a challenge. We're doing a little barn raising right here. We're trying to raise the tent on this circus, on this community broadcaster. 1-800-525-9917 or go to klw.org. And now we'll go back to Cross Currents.
And now it's time for our newest offering, Hear Hear, a pop-up radio project. That's KLW's brand new storytelling adventure in Oakland and San Francisco. Our Hear Hear producers are popping up all over those cities to hear your stories and put them on the air. They recently sprung up in the Golden Gate branch of the Oakland Library to talk to local residents about work. They met a young man trying to get his start as a hip-hop performer.
Here?
Here?
Here.
Okay, together.
Okay. Hear, hear.
A pop-up radio project. My name is Gregory G, and hip-hop was my first love. My sister was playing it in her room. It was called I Get Around. When it came on, it was just like, I thought it was like some piano joint because it starts off as a piano. And then it just drops, and I was like, whoa, what is this? They had all types of different sounds and stuff like that. And my sister started dancing to it. Still clown when the underground, when we come around. And once I really, like, got into it and heard it, constantly hearing it, it was just in my head. It was like, I can do this. All respect to those who broke their neck to keep warriors in check. I'm out here rapping on Shattuck, just like Shattuck downtown. Where downtown Berkeley is called the square, we call it the bricks. And I'm going to slow it down because I do it kind of fast. I want you to make sure you know everything I'm saying. I say, in the world of creativity, psychic, kinetic energy, mind corrupted by chaos, but soul searching for inner peace. And I was down there just freestyling with some of my friends, and this brother named Lloyd Edwards came up, heard what I was spitting. What you are witnessing, superior art abilities that shouldn't be around for about another century. He kind of heard it and got enthralled and got motivated by what I was saying, actually moved and kind of pulled me to the side, gave me his number, and he said, if I'm down, hit him. And like, I had this urge, and I just hit him up. He wanted me to meet him at his place, and he said he had opportunity for me if I was pretty. I come over to his place. I meet a couple other producers. He said he heard me on the blog. He said, spit something that you had recently rapped about or something. My Sharia Moore has the side of Stevie Wonder, blinded by hypocrites, speaking on gibberish, lies come in limitless, but the truth is significant. And they were all like, whoa, this guy's for real. You know, they might have thought I was on some kid stuff or whatever, some low-grade type material. For some reason, I thought it was big. I thought this guy, you know, could open a lot of doors. And he didn't, in fact, do that in the end, but when he opened my doors, me personally. And that meant a lot. That he helped me get out of the shadows of what I wanted to do and illuminate myself in the light and be able to actually able to realize what I can actually do. And I think that's important for everybody to experience. Living low now on top of the globe. This is the life. I don't just want to live on my own. We are living it. So stop giving in. This is the knowledge and I never just deliver it.
Here, here is KLW's new pop-up radio project. You can find us popping up all over Oakland and San Francisco to hear your stories. You can also find us live at the Mission Arts and Performance Project on June 2nd. For more information, go to our website. It's klw.org. Coming up, baby animals that will make your heart happy.
Aww. Aww. Oh, look how cute.
So cute.
That's coming up next on Cross Currents.
I'm Holly Kernan, and this is Cross Currents Innovation Radio for the Bay Area. And we're taking a few seconds out of the program right now. We're going to go back to the baby animal story that is about environmental activism and Bay Area wildlife and wilderness. But we're going to just take a couple of seconds to ask you to invite you to become a member supporter of KALW. We're at 1-800-525-9917. We're in our No Interruption Spring Membership Campaign. You're saying that you love it, but it's only going to work if you call. So we have another 60 seconds, ladies, to get people to go to the phone and become a member at any level. You can pledge $100. We're trying to get to $2,000 in the next 15 minutes, and we only have like 15 seconds to make the case for you. 1-800-525-9917. Martina.
Or online at kalw.org. And let that just story you just heard inspire you. It definitely inspired me to think about how public radio and KALW opens your world to your doors to other worlds. I loved hearing that young man talking about how one moment changed his life. And I think we have many moments where we are able to educate ourselves about the world around us and worlds we're not even a part of. That's what public radio brings to you every day, what Cross Currents brings to you. Say yes to that today at 800-525-9917 and be a part of making that possible.
1-800-525-9917. He said, I don't want to live just on my own. And that's what we're about here. We're a community and we do it one person at a time. You make this community work. 1-800-525-9917.
You can also donate online at kalw.org. And, you know, in order to bring you stories like that one you just heard, our producers need to go out into the community. They met that young man at a library. He just happened to be walking by. We're able to bring him to you. We want to bring you into this place, bring you into KALW. This is your station. And so please give us a call right now. It's 1-800-525-9917.
And now we're out of time. We've got to go back to the program because we made that commitment to you that this would be a program. All of the programs would remain intact, and we would trust that you would call us and make a membership pledge. We're trying to get to this goal of $2,000. We have a $1,000 match. Please don't let us down. Go to the phone right now and become a member. 1-800-525-9917. We're going back to Cross Currents right now. You can continue to call us at 1-800-525-9917 or go online to kalw.org. Maybe you can pledge at $1 a day. That's $365. Maybe you're somebody who can give a $1,000 donation and you can get us to the goal right now. 1-800-525-9917 or kalw.org. And now back to Cross Currents.
One way to tell stories is through pictures, and they don't have to be of people. Local photographer Susie Esterhaas tells stories of family by photographing the lives of animals around the world. Her work has been featured in publications around the globe, and she's especially well known for her revealing photographs of newborn animals. She spoke with KALW's Ben Trefney.
Tell me in an overview, tell me about your books.
My books are a six-title series called I Am the Wild that are about infancy to adulthood for baby animals. So each one follows a different animal and sort of tracks their life as they get older from birth till when they become adult.
So tell me about, say, the cheetah book, and what are you tracking here?
The cheetah book is basically about a set of cubs, and it starts, I think the first images I got, they're around 4 days old. So it starts when they're newborn in the nest with mom, and it goes through all their sort of life stages of sort of learning to come out of the nest with mom and jumping over tall grass to climbing trees to dealing with predators and eating meat for the first time. And then all the way up into the point where mom leaves them around the age of 2 years old, and they're sort of ready to go off and live on their own.
Wow. So how did you get a gig like that?
I didn't really. I just sort of made the gig for myself. I had this dream of doing this book on cheetahs, and I decided that I would just sort of pack up and go to the Masai Mara, and I had this sort of dramatic life change where I quit my day job and left my apartment, moved out, put everything in storage, left the boyfriend, and just went off to Africa and lived there for almost 3 years. I planned on staying 2 months and just working with the cubs when they were really young, but then I really loved it and decided I would stay until they were adults.
How did you get such close access to these cheetahs? I mean, I imagine they're somewhat skittish.
Actually, the cheetahs are not too bad. Some of the other animals I worked with were a bit shy. The cheetahs had been used to vehicles following them because they were in a tourist area, so they weren't too bad. But yeah, there were some mumps that were a little bit shy that I had to break in. So basically what I would do is I would just start off far away. Some days I couldn't even take photos, and then I'd move in closer and closer every day until the mum was really used to me and let me do things like the mum in the end was so comfortable she let me photograph her newborns in the nest, which is really unusual.
So I'm kind of picturing the Masai Mara, the big African savanna there, and maybe a safari comes by and say, and here off to your left are some cheetahs, and there's an American photographer who's been there for the last year and a half.
That's exactly what happened, yeah. And I sort of like, I mean, there aren't that many young, you know, white girls on their own in the Masai Mara driving around without a driver or a guide. And so, yeah, that was, I was sort of like a little bit of a celebrity there because people are like, oh, yeah, there's the crazy girl that's been following cheetahs for that long. So
they're really amazing photos of cheetahs, really close-up pictures of the babies as they're growing and going through the different stages. And what are some of the interesting points of growth that cheetahs have that maybe you hadn't expected as you went there?
I think the big, huge pinnacle moment is when they come out of the nest and start following mom, because they've been in like the sanctuary of their nest and they're really quite safe and mom's just kind of going off hunting every day and coming back to them. But then eventually when they're around 6 weeks old or so, they get to be kind of rowdy and mom can't really contain them in the nest anymore. And she knows that she needs to sort of bring them out and introduce them to the world. So when they get out, those first few days is pretty amazing. They're quite scared of everything. And they, you know, there's these little tiny things in the long grass. So they're just literally like bounding over the grass, trying to sort of see the world. And mom's really fearful because cheetahs are actually very vulnerable to things like hyenas and lions. So mom's really sort of protective of them and they're sort of scared of the world. But that was quite an amazing point to sort of witness and follow them for as they were seeing everything for the first time.
And one of the pictures you have here captures that with a picture of the plains. And there's a mama cheetah who's walking in a very stately way here. And
yeah,
there's three blurs behind her just kind of bouncing through the grasses here as her babies are following her.
Yeah, it's pretty cute stuff. And that's literally what they do, because where they live, the grass is so tall, so the cubs actually sort of vanish in it. And then the other thing they do is they get up with mom on top of termite mounds, which cheetahs use for hunting. They see it to basically get up there to see prey that's really far away. And the cubbies would sort of get up there with her, and they'd get in her belly for the shade, and they'd sort of hunker down in the shade of her belly, and then also, you know, watch animals with her.
Because the Masai Mara is very hot.
It is, yeah.
That's Sandra Fell photographer Susie Esterhaas, and she authored and took pictures of cheetahs for her Eye on the Wild series. Let's turn to another environment now with the gorilla book. So what was your experience with that? Where were you and for how long?
The gorillas, they were sort of a long-term project where I would every year go and see the gorillas. And the way that I was able to get these photographs is that part of my business is that I lead photo tours, and I was leading gorilla tours every year. So taking people to photograph gorillas, and I was right there alongside of them photographing them as well. So this is a product of almost 7 years of taking photographs of visits every year and sort of piecing the story together that way of different babies and whatnot and showing the life cycle that way.
How close can you get to them? The pictures, it seems like you're right next to them.
You are. That's what makes the gorillas so amazing. They're one of the most incredible wildlife experiences to have because they're so used to people, thanks to Diane Fossey and then the researchers that came after her. They're very habituated. So that means they'll just like come right up to you. And if you're not careful, the babies will try to play with your shoelaces and whatnot. And of course, I always try to keep people back because that whole germ transference issue. But they do try to come up and touch you, and they do try to come up and interact with you, and they're not fazed by you being there at all, which is awesome because you're literally just sitting there and you feel like their lives are just unfolding around you and you're just part of the landscape.
What is the life of a gorilla? What's it like there in the forest?
One of the things that comes to my mind, and it's sort of a cliche, but it's true, they're very gentle. And they're incredibly gentle apes, very peaceful. They're very family oriented. The males, in fact, and the females will fight to the death to defend the babies in the group. And they're incredible animals to work around. And they're always sort of interacting with each other, whether they're feeding, grooming, sunbathing. They're always just sort of touching each other and vocalizing to each other, making facial expressions to each other. They're probably my favorite animal to work with.
These are all threatened or endangered species.
Most of them are.
So with gorillas, how many are there left in the wild, would you say?
About 700.
That's so few.
Very few.
Why did you make these books?
I think I have a real soft place in my heart for baby animals and for children. One of the things I think that the value of publications for children in terms of conservation has largely been overlooked. And I think they're so important. And yes, the adult publications are very important and adult books are very important. But the children's books to hit our future generations are just so critical. And you don't see that much out there for them. So I really had a vision of sort of getting kids jazzed about these endangered animals and maybe influencing, you know, that might be sort of thinking, you know, having expectations that are too high, but maybe influencing what they want to do with their lives or at least fostering some sort of interest. Because, you know, without that, these animals are doomed, particularly the gorillas, but the cheetahs as well. I think they've given cheetahs 20 years until extinction. So, you know, just to get kids to care.
That's local photographer Susie Esterhaas speaking with KALW's Ben Trefney. This is a special edition of Cross Currents.
And I'm Holly Kernan with you live here with Martina Castro and Casey Miner in our spring membership campaign. We are here to invite you to become a member supporter of KALW, like Margaret Henderson, Rebecca Jewell, Lucille Irwin, here we go, Fred Runner, Pat Foreman, Virginia Mitchell, and many others who are saying, yes, I want this kind of public radio. And when you pledge right now at $120 or more, you will send you these two books by Susie Esterhaus, Cheetah and Gorilla. And they're amazing. These books are amazing. Can you say it with
yeah,
me?
They're
look
adorable.
At these pictures. 1-800-525-9917 is the way that you can get both of these books, maybe for your kids or your grandkids or yourselves. 1-800-525-9917. And, you know, we're sending you these gifts, and it's a wonderful incentive to become a member. But the reason that you become a member is because you want to support strong, local, independent radio like Cross Currents on KALW, 1-800-525-9917.
And because you care. Just as Susie Esterhaus was saying, she made these books so that children could be exposed to these gorgeous photographs that bring to life these species that absolutely depend on us for their future. 20 years and the cheetahs may be in extinction. So we want to make you care about the cheetahs, about gorillas, but we also want to make you care about public radio because we depend on you for sustenance and for our future. So 800-525-9917 is the number you can call right now to make that future possible.
And the phone lines are open. I see that there's an open line, 1-800-525-9917. We'll send you both of these books by Susie Esterhaus, Gorilla and Cheetah. And she's going to be reading. Susie Esterhaus will be signing books at the Reading Bug in San Carlos Tuesday at 4. So you can go there, get these books signed. You can become a member right now by calling 1-800-525-9917. So many people are stepping up and becoming new members, and we really appreciate that. But also people are calling in with an additional $50 gift to make this pledge drive successful for KALW. 1-800-525-9917. We have 90 seconds left, ladies, and we need to make $1,000 to get this match that was so generously put up by Peter and Terry Boyer. 1-800-525-9917.
You can also donate online at KALW.org. And, you know, just as Susie Esterhaus is taking these beautiful photos, spending all this time to earn the trust of these animals, to take a kind of photo you've never seen that might engage you in a new way. That's what we're doing here at KALW. We're spending time. We're going out and spending time with people, trying to find new ways to tell you stories, new ways to talk to you and engage you and get your feedback about what is interesting to you, also that we can bring you all of these other worlds. And it's so important to us that you donate. It makes it possible for us to do everything that we do here. So please give us a call, 1-800-525-9917.
And here's the news from the phone room. We have open lines, 1-800-525-9917. We have 60 seconds left to reach this goal of $2,000 to get this $1,000 match. That means we're going to need at least 10 calls right now. Or maybe somebody wants to pledge at the dollar a day level, $365, whatever works for your budget, but we really need people to help us keep these breaks short and fun and sweet by calling and becoming a member, 1-800-525-9917.
Yes, by calling, you're subsidizing this no interruption pledge drive membership campaign, but really it's a moment of reckoning. It's a moment to think about what the value of this programming is in your life. We get to turn it on and just have it appear. Well, it doesn't happen that way. We really only get to do it with your help. 800-525-9917.
Seconds before we go to fresh air, 1-800-525-9917, or go to klw.org. As you listen to Terry Gross, you can continue to go online to klw.org.